am Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Sure is.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
Well, first I want to do a big shout out for the today's episode inspiration to Brendan U. Kim's on Antiques Freaks Friends.
Is this what I dearly so hope it is?
Oh, I believe it is what you dearly so hope it is.
What is it?
We are going to talk about Victorian insect jewelry.
Yes!
It's much after, but I think it dovetails nicely with your episode on Victorian bird hat. Yeah, and you may give it a nicer title, but let's just call it Victorian bird hat.
I did literally title the episode Dead Birds on Hats.
And that covered the bulk of it. So, Victorian insect jewelry, what the fuck?
Is it jewelry made out of insects by Victorians?
You got it!
The end.
Well, it doesn't have to be made out of insects, but it's jewelry depicting insects made during the Victorian era.
Oh.
But the most bombastic of these depictions were, in fact, jewelry pieces made with actual real insects.
Beautiful iridescent carapaces.
So it would either feature live insects. Yes, that did happen.
Wait, sorry, what?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what? Already, I need to pump the brakes.
Yeah. Live insects factor into this.
This feels cruel, but go on.
Insect bodies, most commonly the elytron.
What's the elytron?
The elytron is the hardened set of four wings on insects that need to protect their second wings.
Oh, so it's like the round red part with black spots on a ladybug?
Yeah.
That covers up their little fluttery wings?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
The like wing shell. The proper term is elytron.
Elytron. And we're sure this isn't a transformer.
I'm positive. Although it's going to be soon.
I was gonna say.
So, very frequently, they'll be decorated with the elytron of beetles or weevils. Or any other insect that has the elytron.
Scarab.
Scarabs or beetles?
They're extremely good beetles.
Scarab. I just included weevils because people forget that weevils have that set up a lot of time.
Never forget weevils.
Never forget! I see you forgetting them there. They're in your granola.
I wish they weren't.
They're not.
I mean, you say that, but that happened to my aunt, like, twice, and she had to throw out everything in her cupboards.
Well, your aunt lives in the woods.
She lived closer to the city center than any of us.
I'm sorry. I didn't know she was so fancy.
She was within walking distance of one of the elementary schools.
Wow.
And the larger of the two parks.
Hot diggity. Why do you need a park out there?
Well, the forest does not have a gazebo.
Is a gazebo... Okay, well, trees are nature's gazebos, but anyway... Like I said, it's either live insects, insect bodies, or depictions of insects. But like I said, with the most bombastic being apparently live insects.
I was gonna say, I don't think any of the insects survived past the Victorian era is the only problem with that in terms of collecting.
They really didn't.
And recreating them gets into ethical areas that I'm uncomfortable with.
It shouldn't because we have plastics now, but more on that later.
Encasing live bugs in plastic for jewelry?
Well, first of all, bugs die all the time.
Right, I'm saying making jewelry out of live bugs now
feels
bad.
Oh, live bugs. I thought you were
just talking... In my empathy.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably should. So, in addition to just finely crafted gold, silver, and various precious metal insects, jewelries with all sorts of fancy actual jewels meant to represent the beautiful, fanciful colors, some of these jewelries actually had little springs on the wings of winged insects so that they would flutter when you moved, like a real one. Oddly enough, it was cheaper to have the live ones. So it was just like an absurd amount of flexing getting a gold one made.
I know, it's just so fucking fey.
It's very fey. Other things you might see, generally the elytra of other insects that are, if they weren't pretty, they would be gilded.
Oh, I'm just gonna dip this cockroach in gold real quick.
Yes. Butterflies, moths, and bees that had all been pinned, dried, and mounted on hats or on little pins. Butterflies that had been dried and caged into tulle skirts. Fireflies that you just literally crammed into your hair so it would sparkle at night. That's the live one we're talking about. Live beetles, either carefully enclosed in tiny cages on fobs, or... literally having little leashes welded to them and diamonds on their backs that you would then pin somewhere and let it crawl all over you.
Listen, okay, I don't know
wish you could see his face right now.
I don't know enough science to know if bugs feel pain, and frankly, I don't want to know, but, like, feels bad, man.
Well, actually, in the case of the beetle, probably not, because okay. there aren't any nerve endings in that part, those parts of the beetles.
Okay, that's something, but I'm assuming as a species that wants to survive and propagate itself, it does feel some distress at being confined.
Possibly and probably.
I wish the Victorians wouldn't.
I wish they hadn't. And, of course, the most famous and most easily recognizable, and probably what everyone thinks when they hear about Victorian insect jewelry, beetle wings. I'm going to stop saying elytra now. But beetle wings that were either used as the main decoration for jewelry or embroidered onto clothing.
I feel like the audience could already tell that I am torn between my love of gaudy nonsense and also feeling bad for things that are in pain. Because, like, embroidered wings sounds dope as fuck, is the thing.
Well, they are. And the other thing is, so beetle wing embroidery actually goes back a really, really long time, possibly since human beings had the ability to embroider and beetles handy.
Ancient Egypt?
Ancient Egypt, yes. And even older to ancient China, India, a lot of cultures in generally a lot of different cultures and countries in the East.
Pretty much any place where you had people sewing in bugs?
Yeah, like Myanmar and Thailand are also involved. Like, so a lot of places where that goes back as far back as you can tell. Emphasis on India, because you get one guess how the Victorians ended up adapting this. It was colonialism. Actually, colonialism plays a lot into this, and I read a lot of very fanciful articles that did kind of weirdly skirt that. Because one of the most popular beetles to use was a Brazilian jewel beetle, which they only got by invading Brazil.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or the Yucatan, I think, at the time.
You have to kind of go to there to get that.
Yes. So thank you, colonialism.
Thanks, Portugal. Who the fuck else was in Brazil, D?
Well, the native of Brazilians, for one.
Right, but I don't think they were responsible for supplying the Victorian need for beetles.
I believe it's been very specifically linked to the invasion of the Yucatan.
Shit.
So supposedly, the chaining of live beetles to oneself as decoration also goes back a ways in, what would you know it, the Yucatan. But that's not true.
What?
That was actually a peculiarity of the Victorians, because while it is true that there are, like, tourist markets where you can buy bejeweled leashed beetles now, it didn't start in Mexico, or generally the South America, but I believe it's concentrated in Mexico now, until the 1980s, tailored alongside a almost egregiously fake story about the Aztecs, as a lot of tourist things are.
No one should be surprised that the Victorians looked at a thing that was already vaguely kind of cruel in concept and thought, we can make this worse.
Yeah, I was really excited to find out that they did, in fact, invent that particular area of cruelty. But yeah, so in particular, that's called the maquetch, the like Mexican beetle pins that they make now with the Zophorus beetle, which they apparently chose because it doesn't have any wings and is exceptionally docile.
Oh no.
And since it's a mountain bug, they don't need a lot to survive.
There's that, I guess.
So, but I just wanted to emphasize that that came about in the 1980s as a result of American tourism. It's not natural to their culture. The Victorians actually did have the first idea of pinning living beetles to their hair. Not everybody was into this.
Are you saying there were a couple of Victorian Kens toddling around?
There
being
were
like, hey, this seems like suffering.
That wasn't actually their main problem. Their biggest problem was largely that it was yucky.
Okay, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that the Victorians who regularly fed children into machines wouldn't really give a fuck about bugs.
Yeah, although there actually was a lot of proto-societies for cruelty to animals. And when you're looking up Victorian bug stuff, you get a lot of women being sold little lizards by the thousands that they would also pin to themselves.
Live lizards?
Mm-hmm, yes. This practice stopped pretty quickly.
Yeah, because you can look into its fucking eyes and see it screaming. What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't say the Victorians were cool people. In the magazine Art Amateur, one writer wrote, "Wasps, hornets, caterpillars, and cockroaches will all be allowed soon to nestle near the damask cheek of our fashionable beauties. The fashionable hat of the coming period will have for its chief ornament a lobster round the brim, or a mackerel sitting on its tail."
Okay, I really wish fish fashion had taken off.
I so wish fish fashion had taken off. Fish fash?
No. Fishin'.
Oh, fishin'. Perfect. Author of The Art of Beauty from 1883, Mrs. H.R. Hawes, wrote that, quote, "The large and gaudy insects that crawl over them are cheap and nasty to the last degree. At present, the bonnets and the brains they cover are too often not unfit companions."
Oh! Oh! Whoa!
Doin! Got him! Got him, Mrs. Hawes!
Oh, Mrs. Hawes not fucking around.
And my particular favorite, this is from the article Insect Jewelry of the Victorian Era. One Englishwoman visiting Brazil noted with amazement that the air was full of flying creatures that she had previously only seen on earrings and brooches, as if the whole contents of a fashionable lady's closet had suddenly taken flight. What could be a better representation of this colonial mindset than that vision of a vibrant ecosystem as nothing but a glittering jewel box waiting to be ransacked?
Fuck. I mean, the metaphors write themselves.
So you might be asking, why the fuck did this happen?
I mean, I know why it happened, because the Victorians were immune to empathy and liked shiny things.
Well, other than that.
Apart from that, I have no idea. Please go on.
My first simple answer I wrote down as, the Victorians.
and their sickening whimsy.
It plays into the same thing that made the bird hats happen, which was equal measures of sickening whimsy and a burgeoning obsession with the natural world.
Because Industrial Revolution, they were like, but we don't want machines, we want nature, and we'll kill nature to get it.
Yes. And also the machines made getting information about nature easier.
Uh-huh.
You know, books were being published in greater numbers and more people were becoming literate. So the access to the information about all these natural wonders that they'd never see because they were trapped in factories, it really played in on itself.
Were the working classes the ones chaining beetles to themselves for fashion?
No, it was mostly the upper classes, but you get my meaning.
I do.
To stay rich, the rich also had to shackle themselves to these horrible places.
They had to shackle the working class to these horrible places. Yes. And fuel the machines with their blood.
So when you blend that with the Victorians' tendency toward hyperdramatics, this kind of felt natural. It was bound to happen. In 1863, Godey's Lady's Book said, quote, "The ornithological and entomological fevers, which broke out last spring, will continue with increased violence throughout the winter." And I appreciated the use of violence in that terms.
The extremely deliberate use of violence.
Yes. This also adds in pretty heavily to the fact that when naturalism became a fad, women were actively encouraged into it, which was incredibly novel. So, like, taxidermy was considered, like, a fine lady's skill to have.
I'm assuming that's where Penny Dreadful got the idea.
Almost certainly. Yeah, taxidermy was kind of pretty equal opportunity, but, like, a woman, a fine lady who did taxidermy was seen as very, like, well-heeled. It was associated with, like, this high-end morality, because you were, like, communing with nature.
Not only are you getting in touch with nature, but you're also essentially sewing.
Exactly.
So, perfect for ladies.
So when you take the hyper-conscious, noble-born Victorian woman, and you dash in dead animals and the constant social need to outdo each other, I think you know what you get.
Dead bugs on hats?
Dead everything on hats! One of my favorites, other than stuffing live fireflies into your hair.
God.
And there was a really interesting bit here and there that I found about a jeweler who's trying to figure out a way to make, like, a fake firefly, or to somehow encase them in little cages forever. But he couldn't figure out what they eat.
Oh. Oh no. So fireflies, easy dress light up. Is this what drove the put batteries in your dress movement of the latter half of the 19th century?
Almost certainly it must be. Because with the women that did this, it gets written about a lot as, like, you see the phrase shining like no diamond ever could. So I could definitely see this influencing, like, oh yeah, I don't even need bugs to do this. There were a lot of accounts of jewelers also becoming amateur bug keepers as a result.
Hmm.
So most of the prettiest beetles came from various British territories that weren't in Britain. And to make it easier and cheaper, a lot of jewelers tried just keeping beetles. Why they failed, I don't know. Beetles aren't particularly hard to care for.
Really?
Most of them are pretty low maintenance.
Is it more difficult in an era without steady heat?
Yes, that might be part of it. Especially since these are tropical beetles.
Yes. When pollution has blotted out the sun for decades at a time, it's pretty hard to keep your house warm.
It's true. That's true. That'll happen. the very, very famous Lady Macbeth dress. I was wondering if you're familiar with it.
The extremely green one.
The extremely green one, because it is an intense concentration of beetle wing.
Fuck, it's pretty.
It is beyond gorgeous. I believe maybe 6 years ago it got restored fully.
Yeah.
You were mentioning cruelty.
Uh-huh.
The good news is that you can make fake beetle wings now.
That's good.
They're easy and cheap to get. So if you want to practice the beloved ancient art of beetle wing embroidery, you can, at no cost of a beetle's life.
Okay. I realize this is just my hypocrisy the episode, but I have less of a problem if it's already dead. Because at least then its suffering has ended.
Yeah.
And it can move on to the next stage of reincarnation.
The other good news is that the actual... You can still find a lot of actual jewel beetle wings. The good news is that they live for maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
So they're almost always harvested after death.
Yeah, and it's like a natural death because it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that part of the body doesn't rot anywhere near as fast. So you can come by it like days later and still just pick it up and use it in embroidery.
Yeah.
So as far as bug jewelry goes, you can still indulge in it cruelty-free. I would absolutely recommend you look for sources of gatherers who are indigenous to the places the beetles are from, because that is the only way we will keep the earth alive. So, and those sources exist. Just don't go to eBay. That's pretty much it. One of my favorite things were they used the carcasses, as it were, and they turned them into just little pins that they would just liberally dust. So they would have a bug on their shoulder, three on their neckline, two in their hat, just as if the bugs had just descended and stayed. And there was one magazine where a man wrote that he was humiliated at a party when he went to brush a beetle off a woman and found that it had been sewn into her dress. And I just love that. Can we bring that look back?
I mean, we have that power.
Let's bring that look back. So now you want Victorian beetle wing jewelry.
I mean, of course I fucking do. I'm wretched.
Sorry.
Oh.
It's expensive.
So what you're saying is I need to do art crime.
You could do an art crime. I kept seeing everywhere that examples were really rare. While they are rarer than fully, like, metal in like versions of insect jewelry, I've seen two real ones in my life. So that's rare, but it's not like you're never gonna find any.
So it's more rare than hair jewelry, but not unattainable.
I actually own more hair jewelry than I've seen beetle wing, so I am going to continue saying rare.
Yes, but I'm just saying, like, on a scale of rare Victorian jewelry pieces, it would go hair, then beetle.
Ah, there we go. Okay, I'm sorry, misunderstood. Yes. Yeah. It is possible to find, and of course, we got the internet. I believe there are 7 or 8 pieces listed on Ruby Lane right now.
Woo!
The problem is they're expensive. They will start in the low hundreds and go up from there depending on subject matter.
Time to barter.
The good news is that if you want like just a part of that naturalist charm, the metal pieces are very common and fairly cheap as far as Victorian jewelry goes. And so you can capture a little bit of that essence.
Haha! Capture it.
And it won't crawl all over you.
And it won't be a live thing suffering for hours and hours and hours and dying a slow, agonizing death on your gown.
Oh, months, actually.
Oh, great. Cool. Awesome.
Beetles have a pretty slow surprised? Metabolism, so it could take ages for them to die. One thing I did want to mention, since I did previously mention there are fake beetle wings now, and you're looking for beetle wings specific, this is easy as pie... A beetle wing will be a matte texture and very light and hollow. The most common one you'll find is either like an ABS plastic, which will be way too smooth and lack any kind of texture.
So the fakes that are most common will be these?
Yes.
Okay.
Or second most common, you're going to look at glass. And if you can't find glass by now, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Bite it.
Well, glass has an internal luminosity because it's glass that nothing else will have.
It's just, it's been so long since we've told people to chomp antiques.
Don't bite these if you think they're real, because they're also pretty fragile.
Oh, we finally found an antique you won't bite.
I won't bite a beetle. One thing that really bugged me is that, so they all get called either scarabs, because the Victorians were obsessed with Egypt for the reasons, either scarabs or jewel beetles. And I found that the most common, and like if you have a couple hundred to spare, cheapest, were actually tortoise beetles, like native British tortoise beetles. And it makes me sad because I love tortoise beetles. They're cute.
Well, yes, but being in Britain at a time when Britain wanted bugs, I feel like the British bugs were fairly commonly made into...
Yeah, yeah, but why do they have to call them scarabs? There's nothing wrong with being a tortoise beetle. You're beautiful the way you are.
And they don't even know it, which is what makes them beautiful?
That's what makes the bugs beautiful. It's because no bug knows how pretty it is. And if a bug ever found out its self-worth in terms of physical beauty...
We'd be fucked.
Fucking dead to me. So yeah, that is the brief, strange, and incredibly cruel history of Victorian insect jewelry.
Yay!
Yay. There was one legend attached to this, that there had been a lady who had glued diamonds to a beetle and then trained it to just fly around her head all day. It was fake and not true. It had never happened.
I was gonna say, beetles aren't terribly trainable, and they're so very minutely balanced by nature that I don't think you could glue diamonds to one and still have it fly under its own power in any kind of reliable pattern.
Yeah, it was just that, like, Victorian, like, we reported this as news because we knew people would read it.
We reported this as news because journalistic standards haven't been invented yet.
Yeah, and everybody wants to hear about the goddamn bug, so here's your bug.
Here's your stupid idiot bug story. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. And I thought that one was really funny as all. I really like the idea of having a pet beetle that just flies in circles around your head all day to impress people.
B-movie 2.
No, absolutely not. Our sources for today include dailyjstore.org, insect jewelry of the Victorian era, gatsbyjewelry.co.uk, what is Victorian insect jewelry, and 19thcenturyartworldwide.org, Beetle Abominations and Birds on Bonnets, Zoological Fantasy, and Late 19th Century Dress.
Ooh.
Which is a really, really good exhaustive article about both bugs and birds on hats.
Burb. Dead burb on hat.
Put the burb on your hat.
No.
Beetle on the shoulder.
Don't.
You look like you walked out of the woods. Congrats.
If you would like to talk about wearing bugs or any other possible episode topics... You can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks and join our Facebook group Antiques Freaks Friends.
Also, if you like the words that came out of our mouths today and thought that those words should go somewhere else, if you want to scroll on down to whatever you're listening to this in and give it a rating of any kind, that would be just swell. Because ratings help make us more popular, more powerful, and more likely to dominate all of your conversations.
It makes the algorithm like us more, so it tells more people to listen to us.
And you could give us any rating, but have you thought about a 5-star rating?
Consider, won't you? Thank you.
Thank you.
If you would like to purchase vintage goods, you can check out our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, where we also have t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them.
Coming soon, a spooky variation on the podcast logo.
Woo! If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you are there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
And we don't even know what's going to be written on the back.
No one knows, because we got a bunch of French ones in, and neither of us can read them. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees, enabling us to buy this shiny new microphone, and... getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
And generally just buoying our sense of self-worth.
Yay!
Validation.
And thank you in particular for listening.
Especially you.
Goodbye.
Bye.